rises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever.
Consuming fire in victory. glory resounds through the air. All saints declaring your great renown. Kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fret. He's our God, a mighty warrior. He's our consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever.
time.
It's better than you.
Come on, church, sing it with me, please.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Come on.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
You turn graves into gardens.
You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. And the only one who can.
You're the only one who can.
Like a hurricane, and I'm just a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by his glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And know how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. Come on. Like a hurricane, I am a tree that's bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are. In his eyes, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. In heaven meets earth, I can never see in case. My heart turns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about.
Yeah.
And this is the love he has for us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, the spotless Lamb of God, to take my sin and give me his righteousness. He paid a debt that I couldn't pay. Now I owe my whole life to you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Come on, thank the Father for his love tonight. We thank you for your love, our God. We praise you, Lord, for the love you have. You love us so. Oh, what love. It's amazing love that he has for us.
Place, let's begin to just lift our hands. Drink in the love of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep singing.
If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside my chest, 'cause I don't have time to maintain my regrets when I think about.
Thank you for your freedom that you release over us as we worship you. Father, we thank you that you break chains. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who sets us free, that your name is higher than any other name, that you are the one who loves us so, that you came and you died on a cross and you rose again and you gave it all for us. Jesus, we lay ourselves down before you today. We receive your love. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways you can give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do that on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're tuning in online today, thank you for joining us. You can give by clicking the link in the comment section or in the description box. God bless you as you give.
Hi, Pastor. This is Gloria, and this is Bobby Speller. And we come today just for the show to let you know how much that we do appreciate you. We appreciate the knowledge, your knowledge and your understanding, and most of all, your love for us. And we know that you is the greatest pastor that we ever had.
Yes.
And that we'll ever have.
Yes.
And we want to let you know that, let you and Pastor Joy know that we love you very, very much. And we wish that we could do more for you and for your faithfulness to the ministry and for all that you do for us. And you know, the only thing that we can actually really give back to you is to try to, you know, to do better in living our lives and stuff, and take what you give us and build on it. And we love you for that. I know when I first came to Carpenter Shop, the first time that I ever heard you, I mean, it was just a nudge for me, because my spirit man was actually dying, and I was looking for someone and looking for something, and you filled that void for me. And I really, really appreciate you, and I love you and Pastor Joy for who y'all are today.
Yes. And Pastor, I appreciate you. I remember the first time I met you, I was working at a convenience store here in the Hosty, and you came in and you invited me to your church. And I was kind of shocked by me being black and you was white. But that let me know that you was a man of love, a truly godly man of love. And I came to visit, and I have been faithful ever since to receive the word for you and know that you're a man that loves all people. And I ask God to continue to bless you. And Pastor, I would like to also thank you for allowing us to minister the gift that God has given us in praise dancing. Thank you and bless you in Jesus' name.
Bye. Good morning, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy. I just want to take the time to say hello to you and to also wish you a happy Pastor Appreciation Month. I thank God for the both of you. I'm so glad that I am a member of the Carpenter Shop Church. I thank you for everything that you've done since the day I came here. I thank you for your compassion. I thank you for your love that you have for your members. And I just thank you for your honesty. And I thank you for being just an open book, just letting us know just how it is. I ask you today to enjoy this month, because you deserve it. I want to say a special thank you to you, Pastor Wallace, because you were there the day that my beloved Cody died, my dog that I had for 15 years. I thank you for praying for me, taking the time just to let me know that you care. I want to say God bless both of you, and have a very blessed Pastor's Appreciation Month.
Thank you guys for everything, and especially for the great opportunities you've given both of us.
Yeah, we're extremely grateful and appreciative of both of your leadership.
We love you guys. By the way,
there may or may not be something sweet waiting for you guys in your office.
Well, praise the Lord. Happy Pastor Appreciation Day. Wow. And it's nice that our church decides to celebrate the whole month. You know, some pastors get one Sunday, and we get the whole month. So we're very appreciative of y'all, because you have loved us. You have let us grow. You have allowed God's vision to take place through this region and through our church as well. So we love you guys. Also today, I have some special guests with me today. They're from other countries, and I hope they'll come up here real quick. I just want to introduce you, because you'll see them when you leave today at the back doors. Yolanda is from Africa. She's one of our special guests today. We have Elena, who is from Mexico. We also have Mara, who is also from Africa. And we have Shelby, who is from Asia. So we have some foreign people with us today, some guests from other countries. And today we are also, you know, it's wonderful. Our Carpenter Shop Church is always giving to missions. It is one of the heart loves of our people. Our people love to give to missions. They love to pray for missionaries. They love to see the missionaries come in and share of their visions and the things that's going forth. They love to be a part of that. And today, at the end of the service, when you leave, you can clean out your change purses. Men, you can empty those pockets of full of change. You can give those dollars that are crumpled up in the bottom of your purse and in the bottom of your pockets, or the one that your wife washed when it was in your shirt pocket. You can give those today, or you can write a check or give the big bucks. We want the big bucks. But we'll take all of it. You know, coin spend, we found that out recently. But today when you leave, these ladies here will be at the back doors. Please put something in there. It will be going toward our Women's Ministries Touch the World project. We have a small clip to show today for just a portion of what that goes to. But there's so much more. When missionaries go on the foreign field, they have to have their home set up. There are certain requirements that they have to have. There are certain needs that they have to buy their household things. The Women's Ministries Department funds those household needs that they need, that they have to have present when they arrive. So that's one of the things, in addition to the clip. There's so many different opportunities, and we thank you. Our women have not been meeting because of COVID lately, but we've been having the Bible study online. We've still had the prayer time during the day, and Mary Harper is doing the Monday night Bible study. And it's just wonderful to have our women connected in ministry and still connecting with one another, even though it's not our normal way of connecting. So we just thank you in advance for participating and for giving today. Let's watch this clip.
Our ethos for this institution has been compassion with excellence. And way back in 1977, when we as a church community started this hospital program, it was with the idea of serving the underserved. Each woman and child which is coming into this hospital is not just a story, but it's a life which is getting changed and impacted.
The hospital currently has 10 clinics. Out of these, the majority, 8 of these actually cater to women and children specifically, even to the point of having surgeries done for children free of cost when it's needed most.
This is little Anushree, and it was diagnosed that she was suffering from thalassemia major. Thalassemia is a blood disorder where the fetal hemoglobin does not come down. It cannot let the blood live. Many of them, even after detection and because of the cost of the treatment, they do not live very long. Maybe maximum, they don't go up to beyond 10, 12 years.
There are women and children who are coming to us who would never be able to afford the same kind of treatment in the villages where they are coming from. And we ask ourselves, if not us, who will stand in the gap and serve them?
Praise the Lord. Calcutta, AG Women for 20 and 21. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for just being a missions church. Last Sunday in the buckets and at the table, $4,000 for missions. Amen? Wow. Amazing. Amazing opportunities to invest in a young man and his wife. The couple blessed me so much last week, and I just thank God that there are people that are still hearing the voice of God to go. Amen? And missions is a big thing. Missions is a big thing. God loves a missions-minded church. And I'm just thankful to you. You guys always respond to missions. And I believe God's blessings rest upon us because we're a giving church. And that's so important. Also, so thankful that we can get back in person. We're taking it slowly. Our kids are back in action on upstairs. And thank God for the staff that's leading that. And, we haven't had a lot of events and a lot of guests. But just this week, Tuesday night, somebody just say Tuesday. Get it in your mind. Tuesday night, we're going to have a night of worship here. It's just a time to come in and just worship God. Eddie James is going to be here. He just called me Thursday. Amen. He just called me Thursday and said, Pastor, we're passing through. We're not there to stay long. We're just going to pass through, and I'm going to be in North Carolina on Tuesday. Would you like to have us come and just do a night of worship? So Eddie James, not a big team, just four people. A ministry that touches young people in incredible ways. They're budgeted, I know a considerable amount about Eddie James' ministry, they're budgeted at about $120,000 a month it takes to operate that ministry. And what they're doing is they're pulling young people off the streets and bringing them in to a total culture change, a life change. And many lives have been impacted through Eddie James' ministry. He's a man who's never been married, who's given his life for the cause of the gospel. And songs that you sing are songs that Eddie James wrote. Amen. I think one of the songs we sang this morning is an Eddie James song. So anyway, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock in the sanctuary, just a night of worship and celebration. Monday night, let's back up one night. Monday night, Romans will pick up where it left off with Mary Harper teaching on Monday night. Then on Wednesday night we have Bible study and ministry for all ages. And on Wednesday night, Pastor Mike will be teaching the parables of the Lord Jesus. So just get connected. You know, I'm really, God set me free from the numbers thing. I'm not concerned about the numbers, but what I am concerned about, and it'll come through in the heart of the message this morning, is that you and I stay connected. It's important. It's important. So many people, it's so disheartening that so many people during this pandemic have just disconnected from opportunities to spur on their faith and inspire their faith. And we've got some MIAs in churches today across the country. They're missing. People are just disconnected and gone. And it's hard to keep plugged in during this season. So we're taking every step that we can to make sure you have opportunities. Leap into Love is going on. Some 40 people, 48 or 49 people connected on that Bible study that's online, Leap into Love, CSIC, Leap into Love. Thank you for being involved in those things, because it's important in this season that we stay connected. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. Thank you for missions. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to release funding and support to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, we thank you that every penny today dropped in that bucket at the close of the service will impact the life of a young child in Calcutta, in India. Lord, thank you for just allowing us to fulfill the mandate that you gave us in Matthew's Gospel 28, to go into all the world proclaiming the great news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us that opportunity in Jesus' strong name. Teach us today, help us today to understand your divine principle that is not old, that is not, it's not a new thing. It's not even an old thing. It's an original from you, God. And Lord, thank you for helping us to receive your word today. Every heart, we just take captive thoughts that would hinder us from receiving what you have for us today. And Lord, we just loose ourselves afresh and anew to receive principles. I hear the Lord say, principle that will impact our life and the lives of many. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, our territory is in desperate need of change. I remember times, you know, I was Wednesday night Bible study. I was talking to our folk about this. I remember when I grew up, you know, you just didn't lock your door. You know, there's no need to. You didn't have to worry about intruders. You didn't have to worry about people taking advantage of you. And now, you know, it's just a different day. You better secure your homes. In fact, we have whole systems that we have a system. He's 9 months old. You know, it's a Shar Pei. We have a system that works. Amen. But you know, and we have those things, but we also have electronic systems, you know, and a little sign in the flower bed that says, hey, ADT protected or whatever. And we have, you know, somebody comes to my house right now, man, it comes straight to my phone, and I look at my phone, and I can even push the button and talk to him at the door. Amen? Somebody say ring. Come on. It's there. It's available. There's been times that Pastor Joy and I have been gone, and, you know, somebody rings my doorbell, and I catch them right while they're standing there. Hey, and they just look around like, what's going on? Hey, this is Wallace. How are you today? We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Is something I can help you with? And that's technology that's helpful, because guess what else it does? It records the activity around my house, amen? And you say, well, man, that's so expensive. No, a couple of $100 and you can be in business, amen, as long as you got a cell phone. That's the kind of day in which we are alive. There's so many horrible things happening. Just this past week, this week, a young lady, Josh was telling me about it before the service, a young lady, too many people on a four-wheeler, something took place that perhaps maybe shouldn't have, but guess what? It did. And she fell off the back of a four-wheeler, airlifted to Greenville, and is in critical condition. People's lives are being challenged. Over here in this region, five times a young man was shot this week and set on fire. And he's alive. And you know, they're just praying that he will survive and maybe have information that will help those who are working on that case to solve that thing. A young man shot with the intention to kill, but survived and then set on fire. So, you know, we have a territory that is not exempt from evil. Come on. Wait a minute, I don't think you heard that. I said we have a territory that is not exempt from evil. Evil, listen. But you know what? God wants to use ministries, and I pray for not just this church. Yes, I'm greatly concerned about what God has assigned to my hands here and what he's assigned to our hands, but I'm greatly concerned about every church. You know, let's pray as you pass by churches and you see churches, pray that God would set the pulpit on fire. That the leadership that are involved in that church would get out of religion and get into relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we're the salt of the earth. A city set upon a hill, the Bible says, that Jesus told us it could not be hidden. And so if we ever needed a move of God, we need one now. Amen? We need one now. Transforming a territory, the second message in this series that we're sharing with you for three messages. And last week we looked at the idea of seeing this region in which we live transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I shared with you that it is indeed a spiritual assignment. It is a plan that is executed by the Father, the heart of the Father, a spiritual assignment that I believe is placed on the body of Christ as a whole. It's deeper than Baptist or Methodist. Come on. It's deeper than the Missionary Baptist Church or the Assemblies of God. It's deeper than that. It goes so deep. It's into the kingdom of God. In order for our communities to be changed, something has to happen. The lives of individuals have to change. I look back at this revival that we had. And I can just name, you know, on my hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, just counting them. Individuals, somebody say individuals. Individuals whose lives were touched in a manner by the Holy Ghost like they have never been touched before. And I've been watching the fire and the love and the passion that they have for the things of God. And they enter things on social media and you say, wow, God, you just, they're speaking up for the cause of Christ. They're putting their energy where it needs to be, not on the things of this world, but they're putting their energy into the kingdom. That's what has to happen over and over and over again. One life changed by the power of God, set on fire, understanding their purpose and their destiny, and to be the salt and the light that we're called to be. And I'm convinced that if we take seriously the promise of God that was given to Joshua that I spoke on a couple of Sundays ago, that every place that you set your foot can and will be given to you. I've said it before, Ahoskie, this region is too small that we should not take it for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just too small. 5,000 people. Amen. But guess what? We have a problem getting the home folks to just participate. How can you expect the world to do something if you're not excited about it? How can you expect to change the neighborhood in which you live if you don't get on board with what God is doing in his kingdom today? I'm not talking about the territory being given to us in a physical realm as an inheritance or a promised land of possession, but rather in the spiritual realm for this region, that the region from a spiritual perspective could be taken for the kingdom's sake. The Lord said to Joshua, every place you set your foot, there were inhabitants. You know, it's a wonderful thing for God to give the promised land. I've been to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, down the middle of those two nations, Israel on the one side, Jordan on the other. Such a fertile place, such a beautiful place when you look at the fruits and the vegetables and the things that are there, the abundance of God's provision and blessing all year long. But guess what? Before God would grant unto them a promised land, he said, oh, by the way, it's inhabited. Come on. So in other words, those promises were not just on a silver platter. Those people of God had to move in, and they had to do what? They had to possess that territory. They had to take that territory. They had to drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all those other tribes, all those other groups of people that were mentioned. They had to possess the land that God had promised them. It's time that you and I begin to at least start stepping on the territory that the devil is trying to take from us and win people to Jesus Christ. That's what our goal and our mission is, one by one, person by person, step by step. That's why it's so vital to the success of what we do for the kingdom. The church should be on the mission of growth, expansion, development, and destiny. That's what we should be on the mission for. We should have a problem, even in this COVID season, we should have a problem getting a place for someone to sit. We should have a problem. We should be running over. We should be busting at the seams if we do what God's called us to do. You know, and it's only going to happen. Here's the key thing I want you to feel today. It's only going to happen with deep, vital relationships. You know, do what you do. Do what you do. God doesn't want you to quit doing what you're doing. He doesn't want you to, you know, if you play some sport or something like that, he doesn't want you to sell all of your sports memorabilia and all of your little toy stuff that you use to play your game. He doesn't want you to sell all that because he's called you to the kingdom. He wants you to use what you do to impact the life of someone else. Maybe you fish, okay? Well, you know, maybe you fish, and get somebody in your boat and don't give them a choice. Say, either you give your heart to Jesus or I'm throwing your butt overboard. Come on, just tell them. I mean, you want to get saved, and if they don't, you know, I'm just kidding, okay? Get them in your boat. Listen, get them in your boat, fish with them over and over again. Build relationship. And I promise you, when they need help, when they need encouragement, when they need prayer, they're going to call their old fishing buddy who knows Jesus, okay? Just build relationship. That's all God wants you to do. You know, listen, what did they say about Jesus? This man sits down and eats with sinners. Amen? I mean, some people get offended because of, you know, what other people do. Man, get a life. Come on. People need Jesus Christ in order for their lives to change. So if you fish, get someone in your boat. Don't just invite people that are saved, okay? Don't just invite people that are filled with God's Spirit. Invite ungodly people to go fishing with you, Okay? Invite that guy who cusses like a sailor. Invite that guy who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Build a relationship with him. And then incline your ear in the spirit to the needs that proceed out of his mouth. And God will open for you. You know, whatever your sport is, whatever your love is, whatever your pastime is, just invite somebody into that realm so that you can be an influence. It's important to have a mentor. A mentor relationship is so important. Everybody needs a mentor. Amen? Everybody needs a mentor. Paul is a person that was a great biblical example of a mentor. Amen? You know, I'm a mentor. This Pastor Joy can tell you. We were riding down the road last night, and I get a text message coming back from Virginia. You know, we slipped away and just took a little time yesterday afternoon after getting up early and working, and just slipped away in the afternoon. And I said, this is so funny. Here we are just riding around and just really no agenda. We did want to look at a few things. We didn't spend any money on anything other than just food. How many of y'all know food's important? Come on. So, you know, I said, would you like some dessert? Yeah, I'd like some dessert. So we got a piece of dessert, okay? And we drove up, you know, we don't like to just, you know, ride down the road and eat. We all like to sit somewhere. So we sat under a Golden Corral sign. I said, let's just sit over there where the glow of that red light can just kind of shine. Isn't that crazy? We just sat under, we didn't eat at Golden Corral, we just borrowed their sign. And we sat in the parking lot and ate our dessert and drank our Starbucks coffee. Been married 40 years and we're out sitting in a car under a sign. Why? Because of relationship. Amen? And you know, it was a great night. Amen? It was a great night. It was a time for us to connect. And that's so important. That's so important because, you know, having those relationships that are meaningful and valuable are important. It's an amazing thing that Paul modeled for us this kind of mentoring thing, okay? He modeled it. He says to us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at beginning with verse 12. The Bible says this. He says, man, I just want to thank Christ our Lord. He's given me strength. He's considered me faithful and appointed me to his service. And while I was sitting there under that sign, you know, we finished our little dessert and we headed home and the phone rings. And there's this guy who calls me and he needs some help. He's married someone and he's never done a wedding before in his life. And he wanted to make sure that he had everything documented properly on the marriage license and everything. So that was my point there. I'm a mentor every day of the week. I'm a mentor in the evening. I'm a mentor 24/7. Call me up. Can I just tell you something? Three times in the past week, I have emailed messages to other preachers who said, hey, you did a mess. Can I borrow that? Absolutely, man. Preach it like it ought to be preached. Okay? It's free. I've got preachers that I email messages. One preacher told me, he said, man, I wish I could invite you to my church. But he said, I can't. I said, why? He said, because all I preach is what you preach. I said, well, that's good. I said, I hope you do a better job with it than I did. What does that mean? That means that God, by his grace, has allowed me to do what? Be a mentor. I'm a mentor for a lot of people, okay? And guess what? You're sitting here today. You're listening to this. God wants you to be a mentor. Maybe it's not for preaching. Maybe it's on how to make a cake. Amen? Miss Audrey, please, I beg you, teach somebody how to make your pecan cake. Please. Please teach. Write the recipe down for them. Let them do it over and over again until it tastes like yours. Please do that. Amen? Because you're not a spring chicken, you know. I mean, you and I both are getting on up there, and we're going to get out of here one day. But leave your recipe, okay? Amen? Be a mentor. Be a mentor of practical things, amen? But be a mentor of spiritual things. Invest your life, who you are, your giftings, your abilities in the kingdom. Invest them into other people. This guy told me last night, he said, man, he said, I used your wedding. And he said, people started coming up to me and said, man, I'll tell you what, you got away with words. That was beautiful. And he just said, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I said, way to go. Way to go. You know, you don't have to give me credit for it. Okay. Take it and make it your own. Amen. Take it and make it your own. Paul says, I want to thank Christ Jesus. He's given me strength, verse 12. He's considered me faithful, verse 12. He's appointed me to his service. And verse 13, even though I once was a blasphemer, some of you are sitting here thinking, man, I'd be a mentor, but I got a lot of baggage. Be a mentor. He was once a blasphemer, once a persecutor, once a violent man. He said, I was shown mercy because those days, what was he doing? I was acting in ignorance and unbelief. Verse 14, the grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And here's a trustworthy saying, and it deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. Okay? He said, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. What Paul is saying here is, listen, God changed me from darkness to light, and now I'm able to shed that light abroad into the hearts of other people that God places me with. Namely, here he's talking about his relationship with Timothy. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. He considered Timothy his young son in the faith. He was simply called to share the transformation of his life to Timothy. Yes, collectively, he traveled to preach the gospel. But more specifically, relationally, Paul was on the mission of duplicating himself in the life of Timothy. Listen, I can't tell you the countless calls that I get on a weekly basis, the countless emails that I get. Pastor, would you help me with this? Somebody told me that you got a good series on this. Somebody said that you could help me with a funeral. That's what God has called us to do. Share with other people. Amen? Share what you're gifted to do with other people. Listen, you're not going to come up with anything brand new nobody's ever heard before. You're not. You've been alive, you've been listening to the, you know, to the influence of other people. You're not going to come up with anything that nobody hasn't done sometime or another under the sun. So share what you have with other people. Paul invested in Timothy's life. Paul nurtured Timothy spiritually. Paul strengthened this young man's walk as a believer. That's what has to happen to us. Christianity is not a Lone Ranger sport. You don't go it alone. You need those who will mentor you. You need those who will encourage you. You need those who will impart to you in the Spirit. You need those who will invest in you what they have and what they've learned. You know, you've heard me tell the story before. I wrote about it in my first book. But I remember Charlie Overton. He used to work for a produce company here in Ahoskie. I remember Charlie was a man who pastored a church in Roper, North Carolina for 32 years. And I asked him one day as a young preacher, I asked him, I said, Charlie, how in the world do you, you've been a pastor for how long of the same church? He said, Wallace, I've been at that church for 32 years. I said, how do you do that? How do you stay at a church? Because the average stay of a pastor in America today is 3 years. Okay? Then they're gone. How do you stay at a church for 32 years? He said, young man, it's quite simple. You preach the Bible. You love the people. And when the waves of opposition rise up against you, you preach the Bible, you love the people, and when the waves of opposition rise up, you just ride them until they calm down, and then you preach the Bible. He said, have you got this? I said, yes, sir. I got it. Wisdom from a wrinkly old man who was nearing the end of his life. He didn't live too many years after that. But a young preacher like me asked him, how do you do this? Because I don't want to be a statistic who takes a church and stays there 3 years and leaves. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. Come on, somebody. You may think the grass is greener at this other job. You may think the grass is greener at this other church. But the grass is the greenest where the poop is. Come on. So stay where you are and go through the poop, okay? And let God teach you through the poop, okay? Are y'all getting this? One lady said, I just thank you for your honesty. I'm just being honest with you, okay? When I preach, I'm just studying out loud. That's all I'm doing, okay? I'm studying out loud. Be the person that God has called you to be so that you can invest in other people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. He says, listen, Timothy, I'm telling you, son, don't let folk look down on you because you're young. But you set an example for believers in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Man, that covers it all. He says, until I come, I want you to devote yourself to reading the scripture publicly, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift. Hear this. Don't neglect the gift which was given you through a prophetic word, a prophetic message, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself 100% to them, wholly to them, so that everyone can see the growth that's taking place in your life, your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. If you look back over what I teach and preach, I don't preach the whole thing, man, just every subject you can think of. Every preacher has something unique that God has placed inside of them, and they usually pound that all the time. I'm a kingdom person. I teach the kingdom and its advancement. I teach the kingdom and its nurture. And so most of us have some little forte that we're known for, okay? And so we follow that. We do that. Why? Because that's what God uniquely has gifted us to do and to say. And he says, listen, be diligent, verse 15, in these matters. Give yourself 100% to them. Watch your life and your doctrine. And he says, listen, persevere in this. Why? Because if you do, you'll save yourself and the people that listen to you. You'll get to heaven, and so will the people that listen to you talk about it. Okay? Listen, friends, God is calling each of us to a place where we must realize our lives are better because someone mentored us. Someone invested in our life. They're people. Every one of us should have people like this. You know, man, I just love this preacher. I just love this teacher. I just love this school teacher. I just love this businessman. You should have people that you have your eyes on and you want to not carbon copy them, because you can't do that. You can't be me, okay? But you can draw some of the qualities that you like about me. We're talking about with the security team this morning. I said, not everybody likes me. A lot of people do, but some folk can't stand me. Guess what? That's all right. Everybody's not going to like you. But thank God you do have people that like you, and they look at you and they say, you know what? There's qualities about that guy that I wish were evident in my life. So you emulate those things. You ask the Lord to help you to bring those things into your life. Amen? Amen. Bring those qualities into your life. I believe in impartation. I believe if you hang around people who are good at stuff, that what they're good at will rub off on you. Amen? It just will. It'll happen. Impartation, those things will happen. So everybody needs those strong mentors in their life, okay? And guess what else? Everybody needs to be a mentor. You need to have people that are taking you on a new journey all the time, and you need to have people that you're taking on a journey all the time, okay? Secondly, it's important to have a mentee. That's what we're just talking about there momentarily. You're called to just not only receive from people, but you're also to give to people. You need a Paul in your life, but guess who else you need? You need Timothy in your life. He's the guy that you want to spend time with. You know, it starts. I remember growing up in Hertford, North Carolina, and fishing. I love to fish. I would stand on the bridge and just fish, man. Stand there all day, walk to the bridge, ride my bike to the bridge and fish. And I remember when I graduated up to getting a boat. I got my own boat, $250. For a kid, that was a big deal. A wooden boat, 14 foot long, no motor. I learned a skull out of the back of a boat. Some people don't know what that is. I think that's something that you see on the steps at Halloween. Skull. What is a skull? Skull is to take an oar out of the back of your boat with one hand and navigate that boat forward. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How to skull a boat. I learned to do that as a kid. I could get on the calm waters of that creek in Pequimans County, and I could take that oar, and I learned to scull, and I'm sculling down the river with my right hand, and I'm casting that rod with my left hand. fishing on the Pequimans River. How did you learn that? Because my uncle showed me how to do it. How did you learn to tie the knot just right on that fishing rig? Because my uncle showed me how to tie that knot. So you teach others. You have people who are mentees in your life, people that you invest your gifts and your abilities. And this is true in the spirit, one soul at a time. It needs to happen. It needs to happen in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Paul says to Timothy, he says, listen, I've been reminded of your faith. It was first alive in Lois, your grandmother, and it was in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded, Timothy, it's alive in you also, sir. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on my hands. I don't want you to stay where you are, son. I want you to move forward. You know what we told our kids? We want you to do better than your mom and dad's done. We want you to do better, by far better. I never paid a single house payment until I was 48 years old. And I was glad for my kids that they surpassed their parents so quickly. Zach, who's our youngest, owning a house, a nice home, and several acres of land, in his 20s, in his early 20s, being able to afford to do this, being able to work hard and show the progress that he's made and buying a piece of property. I remember when he got on eBay and bought a truck that was about a $40,000 truck, bought it on the phone. Man, I couldn't pay attention when I was that age, okay? Much less pay for a $40,000 vehicle over the telephone in Texas. Come on. But what did he do? He established a good credit record. And he had the wherewithal to take care of it, and so he did it. And so listen, we always told our kids, we want you to do better than we did. We want you to be more successful than we were. And so you fan those things into flame, all right? You blow the winds of encouragement upon your children so that they'll be better than you. They'll surpass you, and you'll be so proud of them. Amen? Already we're praying for our grandkids that God would match them up with the right person. Release those skills and abilities that are in their little lives. Let them be the men and the women of God that you've called them to be. Pastor Joy and I were talking about it going down the road yesterday. We talked about a lot of things, but you know what we talked more about than anything? Us and our family. We talked about our kids. We talked about our grandchildren. We talked about their futures. We talked about how unique every one of them are individually. And they're little tots. But we talked about the skills and the abilities that we already see evident in their lives. And it's important for us to mentor them so they become a mentee. And that's what I'm saying. That's what has to happen. But it has to happen, beloved, in the spiritual. Don't teach them how to tie fishing lures and drive boats and run motorcycles and stuff like that, and never teach them about the things of the kingdom. We've got to impact our families with the things of the kingdom of God. It's wonderful that they're successful. It's wonderful that they can buy properties and pay for it themselves. But can they operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Can they read the Word of God and understand it and proclaim it to someone else? Can they lead a soul to Jesus? Those are the important things. Amen? Those are the important things, and we've got to pass those things along to the generation. Amen? One soul at a time. One soul at a time. And it's important, too, not only to have a strong mentor relationship and a strong mentee relationship, but you got to have motivators in your life. Motivators. How many of you know some people that you just try to avoid? Come on, just be honest. There's some people you just try to stay away from. Come on. Why? Because it's just not good when you get in their presence. You just feel like you're the garbage can. They just dump on you. They just complain. How many of you know any whiners? Come on. Just whine, whine, whine. Yak, 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 yak. I don't want to be around people like that. I want to be around people who encourage, who inspire, who build up, who fan the flames of encouragement and inspiration in my life. I want to be around people who will help me move to a brand new level in my life and in my destiny. I want to be around people who motivate me. Amen? And people can motivate you in many ways. They can invest in you spiritually, they can invest in you socially, they can invest in you financially. You know, some of you sitting here, listen, you wouldn't be where you are if it were not for some motivators. Might have been parents, might have been friends, might have been uncle, might have been grandpa and grandma, but they motivated you in many ways to go to the next level in your life. Amen? Everybody needs these people. Barnabas is such a character. Barnabas was a motivator. He was a person who inspired others and motivated others. But this content and this story here about Barnabas is found in Acts chapter 4. Look at what he did. He was a motivator. He wasn't willing to just sit along the sidelines and do nothing, okay? Chapter 4 of Acts, verses 32 and following. It says all the believers, they're talking about the early church, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Nobody claimed their possessions were their own. But they shared. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles testified the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says there was much grace upon them all. And there were no needy persons there among them. Because from time to time, those people who owned lands or houses, they would sell them. And they would take the proceeds of that sale and they would put it at the apostles' feet and they would distribute it to people who had needs. Then he gives us a parenthetical statement here, an example. He says, by the way, let me tell you one that I know did this, Joseph. He said he was a Levite from Cyprus, but he had a nickname. Everybody called him Barnabas, which means, this verse is packed with information, which means, by the way, his name means that he's an encourager. He's the son of consolation. He consoles people. He encourages people. And so this is how he encouraged the church in this day. Verse number 37 says he sold a field that he owned and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Somebody just sold a piece of property this week and gave us all the money. Wow. I got one amen. That's powerful. I don't mean us, Joy and Wallace. I mean the Barnabas ministry. Somebody gave me a piece of property. And I said, well, you know, I really don't need the property. So they said, well, why don't you just sell it and we'll just write you a check. I said, that'll be fine, okay? So it's on the Albemarle Sound. I didn't need the property. I already have waterfront property, okay? I got 6 acres undeveloped right now in a high-end community in Edenton called Black Rock. I haven't done anything with it except paid the taxes and keep it in good shape. $3,000 a year for the last 6 years I've spent on the property. Haven't done anything with it because it's tied up in a legal battle right now. But this person who was dying told this other person, listen to the story. He said, I've got a piece of property, and he said, I don't have any kids. And he said, I just want this property to benefit ministry some kind of way. You got any ideas? And the guy he was talking to said, I do. I have an idea. He said, I know a guy who established a ministry several years ago, and he allows missionaries, ministers, Christian leaders from all over the world to come in and stay at that location. It's a retreat place on the water. He said, how would you feel if we took that property and gave it to them? Maybe they would establish another location or something like that. He said, man, that would just be great. So he said, just give it to the attorney, let them do the paperwork and give it to them. So he gave us the property, went down there and looked at it, and I thought, wow, this is cool. Standing here just staring at the Albemarle Sound. But we don't need the property. I prayed about it, held on to it for about a year, and finally thought, you know, because of progress and projects that we have going on right now, we just said, hey, we could use those funds to really invest in what we're doing in the future with this property. So just this week, 2 days ago, he calls me up and said, hey, guess what? We sold that property. And the attorney's going to take care of it in a few weeks, and we'll be sending you a check. God is good, okay? God is good. Listen, God is good, and he has people who are what? Motivators. 80-some years old, about to die, still motivating. From his sick bed, still motivating. I want that property to bless somebody. From his sick bed, he motivates someone else, encourages someone else, and gives a piece of property away. so that someone else can be blessed from it. Ministers, tired and weary, especially in COVID. We've discovered that the Barnabas ministry has had the most challenging year this year because people are calling, the phone is ringing off the hook. Can you help us? We just need a place to get away. And we're in the middle of just totally renovating everything right now. So we're not just back open yet, but we will be. And it's been a year that we've had more calls for encouragement and rest and sabbatical times than any year we've been in operation for the last 12. God is so good. God is so good. We've got it set up so that, you know, when Joy and I pass on, guess what? That ministry is not going to stop. It's going to keep on going. All of the legal work and everything has already been set up so that that thing doesn't die when I die. It goes right on and keeps on ministering to people for years to come should Jesus tarry his coming. Amen? God is good. And guess what? Barnabas was a motivator. That's why we named the ministry that, because he set the example. He's the model. He set the example. He gives up his property. He don't need it. He's just like that old 80-year-old man who just said, hey, I want this to bless somebody. So Barnabas sells his property, brings the money, and lays it to the discretion of the apostles. And the apostles take the money, and they distribute it throughout the body of Christ as they saw best. It was trust. You know, when you give something, guess what you're doing? You're trusting that who you give it to is going to do the right thing with it. That's trust. Or you wouldn't give it to them to start with. And so that's what Barnabas did. He trusted the church. He trusted the church to bless those. He was a motivator. You can motivate in so many ways. You say, well, I don't have any land. You don't have to have land to be a motivator. You can be an intercessor and be a motivator. You can call the name. Listen, I could tell you it would take more than two hands. I could tell you people in my life who have told me over and over and over again, I pray for you and your wife and your family every day. I talked to a lady last week. She said, you know what? And I didn't know she could do this. She said, every day of my life, sometimes two and three times, Lord, Wallace and Joy and Josh and Cassandra and Levi and Caleb and Alexi and Zach, Lord. And Father, I pray for Abigail and Jeremy and Ava. She's ripping off all these names. I said, I didn't even know you knew all my family. She said, honey, I know your family. And though I have not stood in their presence, I know their names. And I call their names before heaven's throne every day of my life. Can I tell you something? That's motivation. That's spiritual power that comes from God to fan the flame into life of someone else. You've got to discover, how can I build someone else up? Amen? How can I build someone else? How can I motivate them? And if you and I are going to see this territory, this little region, if we're going to see this territory changed, then we've got to get about the business of strong, healthy, valuable kingdom relationships. I saw in the Spirit this morning as I was praying, I saw in the Spirit a brand new effort, a brand new ministry that I feel that is going to erupt out of this church. It's going to be something that people are not expecting, because in the history of ministry as we know it, it's usually one of the weakest ministries of the church. And that is the ministry of men in the church. It's easy to get women motivated, but most of the time men don't do a whole lot when it comes to men's ministry groups and connection things and stuff like that. They got other things going on. But in the Spirit this morning, I saw the men's ministry of Carpenter Shop Church erupting like a volcano. And I believe that I'm going to see that happen. I believe that it won't be long before there'll be men that don't even go to this church that will be gathered here with other men, and we'll sharpen iron and we'll encourage one another and we will build each other up and we will motivate each other. I believe it's going to happen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray it so. I pray, Lord, that you start a fire down in our souls. Let the men of this region be impacted, Lord God, by all that you have planned. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise, would you? I'm going to ask our musicians to come back, and let's just prepare to receive from the Lord this morning. If you and I are going to see God do what he truly desires to do, we're going to have to take some simple steps. And that is to ask of ourselves, Lord, who is it that you want me? Who is it that you want me to be blessed by, encouraged by? Who is that person that you want me to emulate their character and emulate their giftings and emulate their abilities? Place them in my life so that impartation can take place and I can be a recipient of what you've done in their life and through their life. Hang around people, man. Hang around folks and put your ears open and listen. Hang around people and open your eyes and see how they do something. Hang around people that can do it better than you do. You know what I say? When I invite somebody to preach a revival, you know what I try to do? I try to invite somebody who can preach better than me. Okay? I look at myself and I say, well, you know, I think I'm a pretty good preacher. But I try to invite people to this pulpit who, in my opinion, are better preachers than I am. And I know people. I had a preacher tell me this one day, and I thought, man, you got some issues. I had a preacher tell me one day, he said, well, when I invite somebody to preach for me, I try to get somebody who's a little weak because I don't want them to show me up. I thought, man, you're sick, okay? Invite somebody that you'd be proud for them to grace that pulpit because they preach better than you, okay? Surround yourself with people who can do it better than you can do it. Let there be meaningful mentors in your life. And then secondly, let there be people that you're investing in. You young ladies, you young men, you know, let your life be used to benefit other people. Teach young people things. The Bible tells us to do this. The older women are to teach the younger women. You know, we got ladies today that can't cook nothing. They're so busy running through the drive-thru. Hey, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order, please? They just drive through and get their food. We got people that are, you know, COVID hadn't bothered them because they buy all their food from restaurants anyway. Don't cook nothing. You know what? I know how to cook, and I'm a good cook. You know why? Because I've been mentored by a good cook. My wife has taught me how to cook. I heard her telling someone yesterday. She said, well, a lot of times when I get home, my meal's already prepared. My husband's already got the whole thing laid out, ready to go. He said, text me when you get about 30 minutes away. I can cook anything because my wife has mentored me and she's taught me how to cook. My mama didn't teach me how to cook nothing because we grew up in a different day. My mom, when we grew up in that day, women were housewives. They didn't work jobs anywhere else other than home. And she cooked and we ate lunch at 12 and dinner at 5. Come on. That's it. Lunch at 12, dinner at 5. We called it supper. Okay? We had dinner and supper. And it was 12 and 5. Things have changed a lot. But you've got to have people that are investing in your life, and you've got to have people that whom you are investing yourself into their life, teaching them things, how to tie the bait on the line. Teach them. And then you've got to be surrounded with people who motivate you. They motivate you. They motivate you spiritually. They pray for you. They motivate you relationally by speaking into your life encouraging words. They motivate you from their pocketbook by investing into what you're doing. How many of you have ever received help from your mom, your dad, your grandma, your uncle, your cousin, your friend, business person, somebody in the church? How many of you have ever received help financially from anybody? See there? That's motivational giving. It's a gift from God. Some people can do that and do it well. Some people ain't gonna give you squat. They're not gonna give up their money. I gave somebody some money this morning, probably more than they expected. Why? Because I felt motivated. I felt motivated to do it. And so I did it. And guess what? I feel good and I know they feel good, okay? Because I was motivated to give, all right? And the Bible says you give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't outgive God. You can't. You just can't outgive God. And you've got to have these motivators in your life. And also, you've got to be a motivator. Amen? I sent last Sunday, we were busy after the service, so I sent my youngest son, Zach. I said, Zach, would you do me a favor, and would you take this missions couple out to eat? And I gave him my card and said, here, pay for it, pay for their meal. Just take them out to eat, spend some time with them. I apologize to him. Hey, I'm sorry I can't take you out to eat personally, but I've got some commitments here that I need to follow through on. And so Zach comes back by the church in an hour and a half or so, and he gives me the church card. He said, I didn't need it. He said, we were sitting there eating. Somebody else in the restaurant paid the bill. See? Didn't need to pay with the carpenter shop card. Somebody else did it. I said, who was it? He said, I don't have any idea. He said, I don't know, but somebody paid for our meal. It's a motivator, a person who just wants to encourage, fan the flame of encouragement. You know, listen, transforming a territory. If we're going to see this territory changed, it's not going to be because we had a revival meeting and 500 people came and 490 of them got saved. That's not going to change. That's probably not going to happen. But every place that you step your foot, one by one by one by one. Remember the starfish story that swept the Christian stores years ago, Christian bookstores? The story of the starfish. When a little boy was just tossing them back into the ocean, and somebody told him, walked on the beach up to him and said, hey, you're not going to change anything. Look at all those other starfish. And he threw another one in. He said, I changed it for that one. Okay? Threw it back into the water instead of letting it die on dry ground. How's it going to happen? One by one. One by one. I'm asking you. Hear me. I'm asking you, as you leave this place today, this week, pray, ask the Holy Spirit, God, number one, who should be trusted and valuable mentors in my life? Number two, who should I have in my life that I am coaching, teaching, mentoring? And Lord, please assign motivators unto me, but please allow me also to be a motivator for someone else. Let it happen. If we do that, I promise you, this territory will look different in the years to come. Give the Lord a hand of praise today, would you? Praise the Lord. Let's just turn the church into an altar. Just stand, would you? Just right where you are. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands right where you are and just ask the Lord to deposit these things into your spirit. I'm just believing today that the Word of God that is presented today would find a fertile place in your heart, that you would take to heart what the Holy Spirit has said to you today. Let it be so. If you want to come to the altar, help yourself. Come and pray. Stand in His presence. If you just want to stay where you are in your seat, that's fine too. God bless you. We love you. Have an awesome, awesome Sunday. Worship the Lord together this morning. Satisfied.
give the Lord praise today, would you? There's nothing,
oh, there's nothing
better than you, Lord.
Better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, there's nothing better than you. You are the one that turns graves into gardens, seas into highways, bones into armies, Lord. And God, you're allowing us today to receive an impartation of your Spirit, God, to cause us to step out and fulfill the prophetic word to Joshua. Every place you set your foot, God, let it be done in Jesus' name. Let us step our feet on territory that the devil has stolen and win to the kingdom of God souls that are yet to be won in Jesus' name. We lift up the family, God, the individual who was in these accidents this weekend, God. We pray that you would spare them, save them, empower them, send people in their path, God, that will minister the love of Jesus to them in Jesus' strong name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have an awesome Sunday, would you?
You turn